David Patton is a senior lecturer and past head of the department, 2004 to 2009, of visual arts at the University of Johannesburg, South Africa. He received his MAFA at the University of Witwatersrand, I hope I pronounced that correctly, Witwatersrand, Johannesburg, in 2001 with a dissertation titled South African Artist Books and Book Objects since 1960. David has curated numerous exhibitions of the book arts in South Africa and has headed the curatorial team which hosted Booknesses exhibition. Some of you went to that in South Africa, I know. And Colloquium, which showcased both the internationally renowned Jack Ginsburg collection of artist books, as well as South African book arts at the University of Johannesburg in 2017. David has authored catalogs of exhibitions of artist books and published articles on book arts in local and international journals. He hosts the award-winning website Artist Books in South Africa. You guys should check that out. And is twice the recipient of the Ampersand Foundation Fellowship to New York. David is here to speak to us about the magnificent collection and exhibition of material from artist book collector Jack Ginsburg, who we love. He was here today. Okay, I give you Mr. Patton.
Thank you so much. Can everyone hear me? That's a relief. To the Codex Foundation, thank you so much for the invitation to speak to you today. It's an absolute honor, and I hope that you will be able to understand my flat South African accent. We seem to geographically move from the north of Europe to the south of Africa, so if I don't read my paper, I'm going to go long over 20 minutes, so if you'll excuse me, I'll read it. ''1985 was a difficult year to be a liberal-minded South African. Here in the United States, Ronald Reagan was sworn in for the second term of office on the 21st of January and met Soviet Union leader Mikhail Gorbachev for the first time during the Cold War in Geneva. In 1985, the 19th edition of the Super Bowl was won by the San Francisco 49ers, defeating the Miami Dolphins, the first Super Bowl played in the San Francisco Bay Area, I'm led to believe. Route 66 was officially decommissioned. Microsoft released Windows 1. And Joan Lyons published Artist Books, a critical anthology and sourcebook. However, in South Africa in 1985, following the upsurge of violent resistance to the racially exclusive system of apartheid, the South African government under P.W. Botha declared a state of emergency on the 21st of July, under which the apartheid government militarized and heavily policed all aspects of South African society, heightening feelings of mutual tension, paranoia, and distrust between South Africans. It was within the socio-political milieu of 1985 that I encountered my first artist's book. I had just graduated from the university and had a large painting on the prestigious touring exhibition, the Cape Town Triennial. Also on that exhibition was Elizabeth Fels's handmade book objects titled Last Supper Codex. I found these objects intriguing. Not only was this my first encounter with the book as artwork, but also in 1985, I had not expected to find intimate books in an art exhibition, as typically strong socio-political themes were evident. And for the first time, I saw the potential of the book as an art object, and this is how Last Supper Codex appears today. 7 years later, in 1992, My decision to research the book as an artwork was made after viewing selected poems 1961 to 1991. This book was a collaborative effort between the poet Patrick Cullinan, artist Judith Mason, who produced the illuminations, Mark Atwood, who hand-printed the book, Bruce Atwood, who made the wooden cover boards, and Johan Maria, who bound it. The collaborative nature of the project, its suggestion of a curated exhibition in accessible codex form, and its newness within the South African art world had a profound effect on me, and I decided to undertake the first formal study of the book arts in South Africa. During this period, I was introduced to South African collector and philanthropist Jack Ginsberg and his internationally regarded collection of artists' books. In his book titled Collecting, An Unruly Passion, Werner Münsterberger looks from a psychological perspective on the motivational forces to collect. He describes collectors as, and I quote, quite perplexing and not easily understood. Collectors themselves, dedicated, serious, infatuated, beset, cannot explain or understand this often all-consuming drive, nor can they call a halt to their habit. In response to Münsterberger, Jack recalls the beginnings of what he calls his bibliomania. He says, I don't remember a time in my life I wasn't surrounded by books. My parents' home was full of books. During the late 70s and 80s, I started collecting books about freedom of speech and censorship. Remember, after all, this is South Africa. And this was quite transgressive at the time and even dangerous. I acquired one of my first artist books, Every Building on Sunset Strip by Ed Ruscha, in the early 70s, which was already too late. Jack continues. Another early book that I acquired was during a trip to London where I discovered the Basilisk Press and Bookshop. The book was Janet Nyholm's From a Housewife's Diary, printed at Clare van Vliet's Janus Press, and it was bound in a typical dishcloth. And I thought, says Jack, what is this exactly? He continues, I immediately wrote to Claire and said that I found the book in London and asked if she had made any other books, and she says, I've been making books for years. Some years later, Jack visited her in Vermont and immediately subscribed to the Janus Press. Not only was he able to get some of her older books, but every book from then onwards. In his essay, Unpacking My Library, of 1968, Walter Benjamin understood that collecting is highly personal and the force of passion, stating, ownership is the most intimate relationship one can have to objects. Not that they come alive in him, it is he who lives in them. Benjamin could be describing Jack when he says, and I quote, I'm not exaggerating when I say that to a true collector, the acquisition of an old book is its rebirth. One only has to watch a collector handle the objects as he holds them in his hands. He seems to be seeing through them into the distant past as though inspired. Benjamin concludes that to a book collector, you see, true freedom of all books is somewhere on the shelves. Jean Baudrillard, in The System of Collecting of 1994, has a similar experience of collecting books or art objects as sublime. He states that the collection is where the everyday prose of the object world modulates into poetry. Baudrillard concludes that what makes a collection transcend mere accumulation is not only the fact of it being culturally complex, but the fact of its incompleteness, the fact that it lacks something, one needs such and such absent object, close quote. Rosalind Cleaver, Jack's assistant, states that his collection is organized into three distinct sections. I hope that's so, Jack. Firstly, there is his art collection, which is primarily South African art, divided into sculpture, painting, prints, and works on paper. Secondly, there are the book collections, organized within categories according to spine height to save space. These consist of books on South African and international art, fine press books, monographs, children's books, pop-up books, popular culture, etc. But while his primary focus is the collection of artist books, there is also his archive containing some 3,500 items about artist books. Thirdly, there are the extensive databases. And so, in 1995, the Johannesburg Art Gallery invited Jack and me to curate the first exhibition of artist books in South Africa. A significant portion of the exhibition came from the Ginsberg Collection, with Pamela Spitzmuller's 1986 British Museum memoir introducing the show. To these, I added a number of local works that I had discovered during my research. Artists' books in the Ginsberg Collection with some South African books from other collections opened on the 25th of August, 1996, and consisted of 225 works, 163 international and 62 South African. The focus of the exhibition was contemporary book work, with the earliest being Walter Battis' 1973 Male Fook Book 1, Ronald King and Ron Fisher's 72 Bluebeard's Castle, and Phil du Plessis' Greetings from 1970, a subversive addendum to the 12th edition of the South African journal Wurm, which took aim at the literary establishment in South Africa. In 2000, I completed my master's degree, South African Artist Books and Book Objects since 1960, which included the printing of my book Re, A Negotiated Truth, at the Lower East Side Print Shop in New York, whilst on an Ampersand Foundation residency, of which Jack and Robin Amy Silverberg of Dobbin Millen Books, New York, were the trustees. My book was broadly based upon the testimonies of the South African Truth and Reconciliation Commission, as well as my own observations of trauma in social and private life. Dalla Omar, our former Minister of Justice, stated that, and I quote, "A commission is a necessary exercise to enable South Africans to come to terms with their past and to advance the cause of reconciliation." The re in reconciliation prompted a set of other re-words that had significance to South Africa's journey towards healing: retribution, reparation, restitution. It seemed necessary to begin a curatorial project which would develop my research as well as bring the relatively unknown field of artists' books in South Africa to a wider audience. And my latest book can be viewed at table 34. Jack introduced me to Peter Dennis, who ran the website and database development company Logos Flow. Ginsberg and Dennis had for a few years been developing a bespoke database that would facilitate the transfer of Jack's personal and handwritten card catalog system into a digital format. We merged the Ginsberg database with my own research data in such a way that it was accessible, searchable, and editable on the website, which we launched on the 25th of September 2006, coinciding with the opening of the exhibition, Navigating the Bookscape, Artists' Books and the Digital Interface. The website now contains a searchable database of South African artists' books, navigable entries for exhibitions we have curated, and a featured artist's bookwork. It also contains clickable links to journal articles and other published work on the South African field, a news tab, and a large set of links to pertinent sites of interest. On the 14th of March 2018, Artist Books in South Africa won the category Digital Humanities Best Visualization or Infographic at the prestigious National Institute for the Humanities and Social Sciences Awards. The award recognized the scope and depth of both the web-based project and the Ginsberg Collection. One of the key features of Jack's collection is his vast bibliography of books, catalogs, tracts, dissertations, journal articles, press cuttings, pamphlets, and ephemera on the book arts. In conjunction with the exhibition Textures, an exhibition of texts, textures, and structure in artists' books, held at the Archives and Special Collections, University of Johannesburg in 2014, Ginsberg, Dennis, and I made the bibliography of the Jack Ginsberg Collection on artists' books available on the website. One can access this massive database, one of the most comprehensive international private collections, via 12 access points. Of his life's work, as this surely is, Jack states, and I quote, "The first time I saw an artist book, I wanted to know what on earth this was about. And I started collecting books about artists' books. I would say almost when I started collecting artists' books. Over the years, the archive has grown to almost 3,500 items. And in an archive, you try to buy everything on the subject, even if it doesn't particularly appeal to you, because it's like a history of that subject. Commenting on how his bibliography ranks in relation to others in the world, Jack answers, "Probably unique. All those books, pamphlets, or catalogues exist elsewhere, but not, to my knowledge, in one place. I had someone visit me from Minnesota, and I said, 'What on earth are you doing in South Africa? Looking at all these things, why don't you go to the Library of Congress or the New York, Seattle, and Boca Raton collections? You can get any of this stuff there.' They said, 'Well, first of all, you can't get it all, and secondly, at many of the big libraries, you really can't see more than perhaps 12 to 20 books in a day, and only a few at a time. So, I've had visitors from all over the world who've looked at hundreds of items a day.'" 2017 marked the 21st anniversary of our 1996 exhibition, so it seemed timeliest to start the Booknesses project, 4 years in the planning. That included the exhibition Booknesses, Artists' Books from the Jack Innsbruck Collection. This differed from its predecessor in that it contained a modernist, postmodernist, and contemporary section without including any of the books that appeared on the 96 show. To start, I consulted Jack's rare 1913 copy of Blaise Cendrars and Sonia Delaunay's Prose du Trans-Sibérien, considered the first example of simultaneity in book form. Typically, the work consists of four glued pages, making a 6.5-foot long sheet of paper folded in half lengthwise, an accordion folded 10 times to replicate the railway map befitting its subject. Jack's copy is rare, in that it consists of four unbound and unfolded sheets. As prose appeared on the cover of Reval Castleman's 94 exhibition catalogue, A Century of Artist Books at MoMA, we delved, somewhat tongue-in-cheek, into her catalogue to see how many of her choices could be found in Johannesburg. We found 41. 15 items from her modernist selection, to which we added four, which in our opinion she could have added, and 26 items from her postmodern selection, to which we added three. This exhibition, this established the historical or modernist and postmodernist sections of the exhibition around Cendrars and Delaunay's prose at the start of the exhibition, and segued into the contemporary section. Here, the strategy was to unpack prose's visual discursive characteristics, establish curatorial themes for the selected contemporary books. These themes were visual verbal dynamics and color, 2, journeys, maps and structures, landscapes and places, 3, fantasy and the fantastic, 4, war, death, fear, and apocalyptic imagery, and 5, sex, love, and the body. 258 bookworks, 229 international and 29 South African were chosen. Despite this number, the selection represented less than 5% of the Ginsberg collection. The exhibition was opened by Sarah Bodman from the Centre of Fine Print Research, Bristol, UK, and was accompanied by an impressive 267-page full-color index catalog, which can be purchased from Oaknall. As the books could not be handled, we devised QR code access to 30 selected works across the 5 themes, thus overcoming, at least digitally, the ubiquitous shortcoming of displaying artists' books in vitrines. This exhibition represented one bookend. The exhibition Booknesses Contemporary South African Books represented the other. Its open call, a first in South Africa, attracted some 75 artists and designers, ranging from student work to William Kentridge's Marcus Aurelius and Garibaldi, which you can see on the wall there. The call ranged from codices to digital books, but the majority of the works had to encourage handling and haptic exploration. Robin Amy Silverberg, whose relationship with us stretches back over three decades, opened the exhibition. The broader Book Misses project comprised workshops in papermaking facilitated by Pumani Papers from the University of Johannesburg and Mary Hark, University of Wisconsin-Madison, printing processes and paper engineering, bookbinding, which was most popular and always hugely oversubscribed, and book arts in the classroom specifically aimed at secondary school art teachers. A series of lunchtime lectures were presented by Buzz Spector, Washington University of St. Louis, titled Buzz Spector, The Book Under Deconstruction, and Susan Gosen from Diodane, New York, and Eliza Kentridge, a UK-based poet who presented Kentridge's new book, Selected Signs. An important colloquium, Book Misses, Taking Stock of the Book Arts in South Africa, held two keynote addresses given by Bodman titled Communities of Practice, Building an Internationally Connected Practice in and for the Book Arts, and Silverberg's titled The Aegean Sea, The Compulsion to Make Books. 42 local and international speakers presented papers, and there were two roundtable events. South African practitioners and studios working across disciplines and South African book arts as a democratic force. This was important, given that Book Misses was held at the height of the Rhodes and Fees Must Fall student protests in South African universities at the time. Professor Jane Taylor moderated the closing event, Jack Ginsburg and William Kentridge in conversation on the 26th of March at the UJ Theatre, where Jack and William shared their passion for making and collecting books. Book Misses represented the most important book arts project in South Africa, attracting many international delegates, some of whom are sitting here in this room today, and focusing attention on the tiny but thriving book arts community in the country. The extensive Book Misses archive can be found on the website. I close on a most exciting note. We leave Codex and return to South Africa for the launch of a landmark. The Jack Ginsburg Center for Book Arts opens on the 26th of March at the Wits Art Museum, University of the Witwatersrand, Johannesburg. It is the first and only university-based collection of artist books, books on artist books, and related material on the African continent. It also boasts some of the longest continuous vitrines in the known universe. More than long enough to fully unfold Rocher's Every Building on Sunset Strip or Kentridge's Portage. Jack is modest about the importance of the legacy of his collection, stating, "Well, you can't take it with you, so something has to happen to a collection. So the legacy is that I would like the collection to be kept together, because once it goes on auction, it's split up and doesn't have that coherent aspect, which is a collection. So I'm very pleased to have been able to donate my collection to the university." Close quote. Such thinking is reminiscent of Benjamin's statement, and I quote, "Thus it is, the most distinguished trait of a collection will always be its transmissibility." Close quote. We look forward to seeing a number of our friends, many of you in this room, in Johannesburg next month for the opening. Thank you.